Tony Pietro Piccolo is the director of Sendicare and wrote a very interesting opinion piece in The West this morning. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
How do you assess our ability to deal with the reality that Carl O'Callaghan spoke of, and that is more and more kids in trouble, more and more kids living in squalor and despair? Do we have the appropriate safety nets, or would we really need to spend a lot on resourcing to improve them, Tony?
Well, yes, I think there is a need for improved resources. The issue, primarily, Jeff, that I've tried to focus on is really about how do we prevent kids from getting to the point where they need to be removed from their families. There are more and more children being removed from families for a variety of reasons, and these are the issues that we've got to focus on. I mean, we've got an increasing number of children being removed because parents are experiencing drug abuse problems or other abuse problems. Some are because of poverty, in the sense that people just don't have enough to look after the children properly. Some is for some reasons are due to the way that they were brought up and the families that in which they experienced violence themselves and removal from families themselves. The lead children being removed from families are myriad, and I think that's the big issue, and that's what we need to focus on. How do we begin to stop the flow rather than picking it up at the end? And what we don't do enough of, and we don't put enough resources in my opinion, are the family support programs that we need, so that we have people that actually assist families to better look after children. Early intervention programs. I mean, there are myriads of reports that talk about the importance of early intervention in families and in family situations, and that these will ultimately a better outcome for children and their parents. But we don't put enough time or money into at that end of the spectrum. What we do is want immediate responsiveness whenever a child is in trouble, and we need to do that. However, we need to also focus at the other end. The department tries its best, I believe, to meet the needs of the children that are genuinely in need of removal from their families. But they do experience problems in relation to the number of foster carers that are around or are able to support, to help. I know from the foster carers' point of view, their issues are that often they don't get the support that they need for a better job with the kids.
Yeah. Tony Pietro, remind our audience who we're speaking to. Tony Pietro Piccolo is the director of Sendicare. Tony, the things you're talking about are the things that health professionals talk about, and it's called preventative measures, isn't it?
Yes.
Just
yes,
as we talk
is.
About the preventative measure that keeps an elderly person out of an emergency department is taking care of one's health. There's nothing different about this. The only point I'd make is that I'm sure Carl O'Callaghan would agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Because he knows that if we don't deal with the social issues early, police, emergency services people and the rest of society have to deal with it at the other end.
Yeah.
I think he's coming from a position that says we are seeing so much of this and we are putting those kids back into the arms of parents. Some of them have hundreds of charges over various things, some of them living in complete squalor and without any interest in that child. I think he's concerned that, that we are not addressing the things that we must do now just to keep those kids safe. Would you accept that?
I accept that if a child is in dire need of supports or they are in danger, they need to be removed, absolutely. And but my experience, Jeff, has been that the department does that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he was arguing, I think. He said yesterday, have we as a community set the bar a little too high? We do understand in sort of black and white emergency situations, the department is able to make clear decisions and pull those kids to safety. He wonders if we have not set the bar for that to happen a little too high?
Yeah, and that is an open question. The issue is, though, that we also know that removing children from families also create their own problems, and hence the caution in this. And the caution is, what may appear to be a solution may create a whole range of other problems for the child and for the family. And we've seen that. I mean, we've seen that in the various inquiries that we've had over time in relation to out-of-home care. The long-term consequences of forcibly removing a child from the home are there, and they've been experienced. We know that. We know the research. So we need to be very careful. I mean, that's what's the point of my article today, was we've got to be very careful when we call for people to, of children to be removed from families. By all means, if children are in desperate need, they have to be. But it is a judgment call about when do you do that? And sure, that would agree with the commissioner. If he's saying that there are more and more kids in that situation, I think there have always been large number of kids. I think we're more sensitive to it today. But last year, there were 250,000 reports of child abuse Australia-wide. Mm. 50,000 of those were investigated and found to be in a situation where the children needed to be removed. Now, this is an amazing statistic when you think about it. And so how are we going to keep up with that? How are we going to actually ever have the resources if we don't at the same time put far more investment at where we are stopping kids from getting to the point where they need, or families from getting to the point where children need to be removed? I mean, we've got to do it at both ends of this. And I guess one of my concerns when we begin to focus continually on removing children is that we stop thinking about how we're going to actually stop the flow. And that is where we need to put our energies, because if we don't, then the numbers will keep ramping up. And there are a heap of reasons why that happens, but we've seen that that is the case. And I know that people are working very hard to try and stem it, but I don't believe we are putting enough resources, and we're not doing it consistently enough. What happens, Jeff, it becomes a political issue. You can see it happening now at the federal level, where we're beginning to look at welfare payments again. We're beginning to look at all this again, and all of a sudden, programs that may have been in place for a period of time are then put aside and left behind. And then we pick it up again a few years' time because the problem's ramped up again.
Let me give you an example. And look, I don't know this program, and it is Vicky who's contacted us. She says, I've been a volunteer home visitor for 13 years in a Department of Communities and Local Government called Parent Link. Under the Parenting WA program, it helps parents with improving their parenting skills through 6 parenting principles, etc., etc. It's very empowering. It's given me much joy and satisfaction watching families move from sadness, frustration, anger, and chaos to experiencing happiness, joy, and a calmer family life. The problem is, it seems there's no money for it, and the program in a place like Armidale, where you would imagine it really needs to be there, ends this month.
Yes, and we run one of those programs. They're the sort of things that do help. They're the sort of things that actually make a difference.
Do they cost
run.
Too much money then, Tony?
No, they don't. They don't cost too much money. A lot of those are primarily volunteer programs. I don't think we see it as an investment. We keep seeing it as a cost.
Yeah.
We're quite happy, though, to pay. No, we're not happy to pay, but we do keep paying a whole heap of money at the other end of the spectrum.
Of course
either,
we do.
Either through the courts or through police time or through corrective services
So
time.
Would you know, Tony, and we'll have to explore this further, because it may well be that little example of the things that you're talking about that does achieve things, that is useful, but for whatever reason gets cut back. Do you have any reason why the money would be no longer there for it?
I think because it becomes a matter of priorities, and it becomes a matter where you've got a restricted sort of only a certain amount of money. You've got to know where you put your money, I would imagine.
Sure.
And some of it is about that the crisis end of things tend to always get primary response. And so whether it's a hospital, you put your money in emergency. If it's this sort of work, you put money into removing children and caring for them in some way, because they are desperate situations. But we have to do it at the same time at the other end.
So we fund the crisis satisfactorily, but we do not fund, even in small amounts, it seems here, some of the preventative measures that would stop it getting to a crisis point.
And I think that's a mindset that... It's something that we struggle as a society to acknowledge, that we don't have a choice but to do it at both ends. We don't actually have a choice. And while we think that we've got a choice, and that is to only concentrate on the crisis end, we will continue to have significant difficulties within our families and within our society. We have got no choice but to spend money at both ends of that spectrum.